Ephesians chapter 6, and today my message is titled, The Christ-Centered Family, The Christ-Centered Family. And so as we think about Christ-centered homes, that's what Paul's talking about. He talked about the husband-wife relationship. Now he's going to talk about the parent-child relationship. And this is a very important relationship. Now, if you go into a Bible bookstore, you will see dozens and dozens of books on the family, the home, on marriage. And granted, there are some really good books, but there's no book better than this one. The best book ever written on the family, the best book ever written on marriage is the Bible. This is the best book. And so, Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, he examines here, we're examining the parent-child relationships. And here we discover the factors that are involved in the Christ-centered relationship. First of all, God's commandment for children. Notice Ephesians 6 verse 1 here. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then he says, honor, which is the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And notice the dividend, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And so Paul says to children, children, obey your parents. Now, if there's any commandment that has fallen on hard times today, this is one of them, right? And in fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, as he gives the characteristics of the end times, one of the things he mentions here is that people would be disobedient to their parents. Children would be disobedient to their parents. In 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And he goes on and on and on, but that's the one I want to pull out of there. And so Paul says that's one of the things that's going to characterize the last days, is that children are going to be disobedient to their parents. The authority of parents over their children has been scoffed at in society. And children have increasingly, their rights seem to be promoted almost above the parents' rights. It's crazy what kids can do without parental consent. You know, even some changing their gender and all of this stuff they can do without notifying, you know, the parent. That's just not right. And so Paul says, children, obey. Obey your parents. Now, that word obey is a very graphic word in the Greek language, and it literally means to listen under. That's what that word obey means, to listen under. The idea that a child should get under the authority of his parents and listen. And so notice that Paul does not write to children to obey their parents when they are right. That's not what he says. He doesn't say, children, obey your parents when they're right. He just says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so, look at the text. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. And so, how are children to obey? Well, Paul commands children to obey in the Lord, 6:1. And so what does that mean? Obey in the Lord. Well, it does not mean that a child is to obey It does not mean that that if they are Christians, you obey them, and if they're not Christians, you don't obey them. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul just says, obey your parents in the Lord. It's not a matter of whether or not, the Christian parents are right or wrong. It's just up to you to listen under them, to be under their authority. They're your parents. And so for that reason, you're to listen to them. You're to honor them. Notice that the Apostle Paul says over in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 20, chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says this. He says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So, obey your parents in all things. And that's what Paul says. So, what if your parents are asking you to do something that is contrary to God's will? So what do you do as a child? Do you do that or not? Well, you don't. Because if they're asking you to do something that's against the will of God, you absolutely don't do it. Now, you are to obey your parents in all things except when your parents want you to do something that is against God. God is always our number one priority. We should always please God above all others. And so you obey your parents in all things except if they're asking you to do something that goes against the will of God. Then you don't have to. And so let's look at the dividend that's attached to the promise that if you obey your father and your mother, notice verse 3, he says that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so a child, if he's obedient to his parents, the scripture says that that can result in you having long life. And so when God originally gave this command to Israel, when he attached this dividend to it, this relationship is important because it's the key to all relationships. If a child cannot and will not obey in the home, will not honor his parents, then he's going to be a misfit in society. You know, Aristotle said the most basic unit of society is the home. And so think about this. If a child doesn't learn to obey in the home, to listen, to get under the authority of their parents, then more than likely, that's going to result in them not living as long as they should or living a fulfilled life. Either could be the case. You know, parents say, you know, don't drink and drive, for example. Well, if you drink and drive, there's a good chance you're going to die, right? I mean, there's a good chance that's going to happen. If your kids say, stay away from drugs, don't hang out with the wrong crowd, and you do that, that can result in you dying young. And so the parents give good instruction so that their children can live good, long, healthy lives. But it's more than just the extension of your life. It's the kind of life. It's living a fulfilled life, a happy life. That's what we want for our children. And the best way to achieve that is to get under the authority of your parents. And remember, society is made up of units of families. And so the family is the most basic unit. And if a child can't obey in the home, he's not going to obey outside of the home. And so he's going to be a problem in society. And that's the reason we build prisons, right? Because that's what happens to kids that don't listen to their parents, who do their own thing. They end up in prison in many cases. Not all cases, right? Some children don't obey to the point that they go to prison, but there are a lot of children that end up going to prison because they simply could not learn to obey in the home. If you don't learn it there, you're not going to do it in society. And so it's vital that children learn to live right, to honor, to be obedient to their parents in the home. And then you're going to be obedient to authority outside of the home. And so it's vital. So Paul's given good advice, good instruction. Children, honor your father and your mother. And the best way to do that is to be obedient to them. That's the best way to honor them, is to live a good life, to live a productive life, and to obey them, because they have your good in mind. They want you to live a happy life, a fulfilled life. And the only way that's going to happen is that you learn obedience in the home. But it's not just the child here. We're talking about the parent-child relationship. And so God's plans for parents is in verse 4. He says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." And so fathers, don't provoke your children, he says. And so for a child to grow and mature in a healthy way, he must know that his parents love him and they're devoted to him or her. They have to know that, or they're not going to grow and mature in the way that they should. And so where there is a sense of devotion absent, a child's self-esteem and psychological well-being will be severely strained. No question about it. And so one of the sure ways for that to happen to a child is for the parents to continually exasperate and frustrate them. And so Paul elaborates on this over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. In Colossians 3, verse 21, Paul says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Know that. So fathers, don't provoke your kids, because that will discourage your kids, and you don't want that. And so in what ways can parents exasperate, discourage, frustrate their children? Well, there are a lot of ways parents can do that. One way is certainly through abuse. Abusing a child is a way to frustrate, to exasperate a child. Another way to do that is to neglect them, to not show any love or concern, just push them aside. You know, if you neglect your kids, that's going to hurt them. It's going to hinder them. It's going to frustrate them, because children want to be loved. Another way of doing that, and this is one of the key ways I see parents exasperate their kids, frustrate their kids, and that is to have high expectations of your children. You know, your kid's a B student, but you want A's. Well, they can't give you A's. They're a B student. And if they're a B student, you can't expect them to be an A student. But there are some parents who are like that. You know, the standard's here and you meet it or else. And that frustrates a kid, because they can't achieve that. They can't do that. But yet you're expecting that. And so many kids get frustrated, exasperated, and give up because they can't please their parents no matter what they do. So it's important we understand what our kids are capable of and not capable of, and not raise the standard so high they can't meet them. That's a very frustrating situation for children. And so we parents need to know this. And so another way is making decisions without consulting them, without ever asking them what they think, you know, not including them, just making decisions and then telling them, "This is the decision that we've made." You know, I think it's good to engage with your children, and when you're making decisions about them, I think it's good to talk to them about those decisions, not just come to them and say, "This is what we've decided." But include your kids. Let them know that they're loved and they're part of the family, and that you have a relationship and there's dialogue. And notice the discipline. Paul gives the positive side of the parents, you know, are to relate to their children, but there also must be training and instruction, Paul talks about here. And without those two elements, a child cannot be raised in a healthy, as a healthy individual, emotionally or psychologically. And so Paul talks about, or he says here, you know, fathers, do not provoke your children, notice, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So the training and the admonition of the Lord. So what is the training? What is the instruction? Well, it is simply the rules. It's the regulations. It's the principles by which a child is to live his or her life. And so parents have a responsibility to pass along this concrete teaching, this concrete training, this instruction that comes from God. It's vital that we pass that along. And only through this knowledge will a child know right and wrong, good and evil. And so make sure your child understands the consequences of his or her actions. There are consequences to doing things that are wrong, and there are consequences to doing things that are right. And so you're rewarded for good behavior. You're punished for bad behavior. And it's important for kids to understand this and know this, that they're being trained and instructed in the way of the Lord. And so he says that parents, you know, they only have two directions that you can rear your child. You can rear them in the Lord, or you can rear them out of the Lord. Either or, but there are two options here. Paul says to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, not out of the Lord. And so if you rear them either by biblical or humanistic principles, the former brings joy and peace and harmony in your home. But if your responsibility is to provide proper direction, discipline, instruction for your children. And this task is not to be delegated to a school teacher, to a legislature, to the church. This is the responsibility of fathers, of parents, to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's okay to have these people assist you, but you've got to be the primary teacher. You have to be the one who's bringing up your child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, when we go through a lesson like this and we look at the parent-child relationship, look at responsibility of children, look at the responsibility of parents. And some of us have already raised our parents or out of the home. And we think, what's this lesson have to do with me? Well, it's got a lot to do with you. And just because your children are gone don't mean that you don't need this. Because in the church, you know, we're a family, and sometimes we counsel people. And sometimes there might be a parent or parents that are struggling with their child and they don't know what to do and they're frustrated, and they may come to you. And if they come to you for help, then you'll be able to help them. And so that's why, you know, looking at this information and learning this information is vital, because it puts you in a position to help your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And so you never know when you're going to be in a counseling situation, and you want to be able to turn to the Scriptures. You want to be able to direct them in the way of God. And so that's why a lesson like this is important for those of you who have already reared your children and they're out of the home. So you might have many opportunities to help other families. And so God, He has great plans for your family. And wouldn't it be wonderful if all Christian marriages were bliss and they stayed together? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be great if children loved and respected their parents and they lived Christ-centered lives? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Absolutely, that would be wonderful. That's what Paul is teaching this for. so that we can have good and healthy marriages, so that we can nurture our children and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We want to raise kids who love God, who are obedient to their parents, who honor their parents by the way that they live. And so God wants our homes to be models of what the home should look like. And so out in the world, when people see your family should be a model of what God wants. This is what God wants in a family. Your family should be that model. That's what God wants for your family, for my family. And I hope that your family is a model. I hope that your family in your neighborhood is a family that other families look up to and say, wow, that's what I want for my family. That's what I want for my kids. That's what I want for my marriage. That's what I want. I hope and pray that the way we live, the way we raise our children, and the way we interact as mates will make society thirsty for the biblical family, for the family we read about in the Word of God. And so I encourage you, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what God desires for you. And for those of you today who are not God's children, God has a family. It's called the family of God. It's the church of God. And God wants you to be a part of that family. He wants everyone to be a part of that family. But the Bible says that we've sinned, and our sin has come between us and God. It has separated us, and we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and we're cut off from God. And there's no way that we can have a relationship with Him. But God in love sent Jesus. He died. He went to the cross, paid the punishment of our sin, so that our sin, which separates us from God, can be forgiven and washed away. And consequently, we can enter into a relationship with God, union with God. That's what God desires for you. And so if you're not in the family of God and you want to be in the family of God, we encourage you to become part of the family of God. We're going to sing a song, and as we do, we want to encourage you to respond as we sing.